Alright, folks. Okay. Right. So, folks, first of all, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I'd remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in as listed. I'd remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, folks, it's the first new year, first meeting of the new year, so happy new year, 2024. Is there any apologies that needs recorded?
Yes, Chair. Apologies from Councillors Gibbons and Hart.
Okay. Any other apologies from the floor? No. Okay. All right, folks. The chairperson's remarks. First of all, just on behalf of everyone in the chamber and the council, we would like to express our deepest sympathies to Valerie on the sad passing of her stepdad, John Keenan. It's extremely sad and a sudden passing for the family to have to deal with, and I'm sure we would all like to express our deepest condolences and sympathies with Valerie and her family at this challenging time. I'll bring any members that wish to add to that in now, so Councillor Finnegan, if that's in relation to that.
Sincere condolences sent to Valerie, but no minor step which to that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring in Councillor McMurray and then I'll bring in Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, Terry, no, I wasn't aware of that, but terribly sad, and pass condolences on to chairperson, please. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Hannan.
Thanks, Chair. Just to offer condolences to Valerie and her family at the sudden death of her stepfather, and thanks for stepping in tonight at short notice. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, okay. And Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I know that you've obviously passed on your condolences just on behalf of the STLP group to echo Unit's comments there as well, and we'll thank you with Valerie. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. And I suppose just one other item under Chairperson's remarks. I would like to congratulate all of the community groups that organise Christmas tree switch-ons or Christmas events. I attended a number in my capacity. I know Valerie attended a lot more than me, but the great community spirit and the Christmas spirit that was experienced certainly pass on our congratulations to all those that were involved in that. Councillor Jackson.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. It was just from the DUP group just to pass on our condolences to our chairperson, Valerie, as well. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Councillor Finnegan, is it a chairperson's remark that you want to raise?
Yes, thanks for letting me in. I do appreciate it. I just want to congratulate St Patrick's and Collyhan and wish them all the best next Sunday's club intermediate All-Ireland final, and that just that they have the full support of the entire county behind them.
Okay, thank you for that. Do you have a...
Chairman, I just would like to comment on a young lad, Rory Armstrong from Downpatrick, who had a fantastic achievement in the world of motorsports. He's only 13, this lad, but he's won the world championship in go-karting in Bahrain, and 73 countries involved in it, top people in this sport, and I think it'd be very fitting if the chair would send a letter congratulations to him.
Yeah, I'm sure we can organise a letter, yeah. Okay, folks, moving on to item number two, declarations of interest. If any?
None.
Okay, item three then is the action sheets, and we'll go through them page by page. So, page one, page two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Need a proposer and seconder for the action sheet. Proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? No? Okay, then moving on to item four is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of December 2023, and we'll go through them for accuracy. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. A proposer from Councillor Bowsey. The seconder, seconded by Councillor McAteer. Any matters arising? Councillor McAteer, question?
Yeah,
it's just that I would like to...
Microphone.
Put your mic on. Can't hear you.
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, just in regard to the special council minutes for adoption, saying on the council meeting held on 6th December. It's just that I would like maybe that I actually asked about the report and the internal review of the flooding and council response, and maybe put that on the action sheet as well, Chair, for future reference. Are we happy enough with that?
Sure. We can include it in the action sheet. We think it is in the minute, okay, but we'll include it.
I thought maybe it was in the action sheet, it would be not far away.
And it is in the action sheet as well, I'm being told.
Okay, happy enough, Councillor McAteer?
Yeah.
Okay, item number five then is the minutes of the ERT, Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee, meeting held on the 11th of December. We'll go through them for accuracy. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Any proposer and seconder just for accuracy? Proposed Councillor Kilbreath and seconded by Councillor Campbell. Matters arising? Councillor Devlin? Oh. That's you now.
Yep, thank you. Chair, the issue to raise in respect of page number three as to the debate around the childcare strategy. I suppose members in this chamber will know this is an issue that I've raised and tabled previous motions on. It's one that's very close to my own heart. I'm in regular contact with other parents and the costs of childcare now are beyond debilitating. I have friends question if they can afford another child, friends turning down promotion opportunities, and other friends actually opting out of employment altogether. I suppose these costs, coupled with the spiralling costs of living, which has been alluded to in the motion, has become unbearable for many. Melton Parents NI is a really good lobby group in Northern Ireland that's doing really, really good work in terms of shining the spotlight on the differentials between the support for childcare across the water and here. And I think the word unfair has been used, so that's probably a bit of an understatement. I was hoping, Chair, to propose an amendment if possible. And I know, just remind me in terms of certain orders, it's been, the minute's been approved. But if I want to propose an amendment to that motion, can I do that now, Chair?
It's minutes approved for accuracy, so you can't amend the minute. There is a minute that was already.
If I wasn't at the meeting itself, Marie, can I make a proposal?
It's the same measure rules the last month where somebody tried to change a minute. You can't change a minute.
It's been done with the practice. No. Can you make a proposal now? As you
yeah, you could do that, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If I can make that proposal now, Chair.
Yep.
Yeah, so if we look at the reading actually of the one that's been actually been agreed, after, and this council will, write to the Department of Education urging them to progress a comprehensive and fully funded childcare strategy and calls the DUP to restore the executive urgently so that all parties can work together to make childcare a priority. Write to the Department for Communities to seek an assessment of the impact the lack of an anti-poverty strategy has had on families' access to childcare over the last 5 years. Assess availability and demand for childcare in the district to identify areas of most need and commit to delivering 10 new fully registered childminders in the next 12 months in the area through the Labour Market Partnership. So I think the addition there, Chair, is the fully funded aspect, which I believe is really, really important. I mean, we see so many strategies and reports sitting on shelves that are just gathering dust and never see the light of day. So I think it's really important an issue for that. I think we must push for the funding aspect of the strategy and then the linked request in terms of the poverty statistics, which I think are really, really important in terms of securing that vital change that we actually need. So I think I want to pay tribute to Councillor Mercer. I think the motion's a really, really good one. But I suppose just that element of the fully funded aspect would be really useful if we could make that proposal and write off to the Department for Education in that regard.
Okay, thank you. And do you have a seconder for that, Councillor Devon?
I think Terry has that in the chat.
Okay, yeah.
I second that in the chat, sir.
It was discussed at the meeting and it wasn't approved.
But there's a, that's not a same amendment that's being proposed tonight.
It's not the same, Chair, in terms of it's the fully funded element is the big part that I think is what's needed.
We don't have full hit your button there. Can you put the wording, yep, the additional wording into the chat, please, yep, so all, sure, members have visibility of it?
Yeah, give me.
Can I make a comment, Chair?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the written I'm going to bring in other members first, Councillor Devon. Councillor Tinley, can I check, is this on the same item?
No, different item, Chair.
Okay, I'll bring you back in, Councillor Tinley. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, just reading through the wording of it. Now, I know in ART, when this was discussed and debated, that there was a rejection of the anti-poverty strategy because we felt that that was a different motion and on its own merit. Also, my understanding is that the Department of Economy have a great role to play in childmind and not necessarily the Department of Education. So it's just to, you know, clarify on that. Are we writing to the right department? And I know, and sorry to break your word, Laura, in regard to the 10 fully registered childminders, was that not agreed at ART? Now, I'm not on that committee, but I sat in on the motion to hear the debate. And that was my understanding, that we had already agreed to that.
Yes, Sorry, we just need the mic. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, suppose I was looking at amending the motion tonight, which I know I can't do. So I suppose that last part has already been agreed. It's really to do with the fully funded element, and I suppose the Department of Education is what the previous motion tabled by your colleague was calling on. So I suppose I was hoping to add to that as such. I mean, really, the easy option would be if we could just make the proposal regarding the fully funded strategy, and that could be added to the same letter that's being ratified tonight and be sent off.
So, Councillor Devlin, from comparing the text within the chat and the text from ERT, it does read very similar to one another, and there's very little difference. Now, what we can do is...
The fully funded element, sure.
What we can do is that the amendment that was originally at the committee can be re-voted on. And
but it does include the funded element, which is my biggest.
Chair.
Okay. Well, I'm taking guidance from officers as we go here.
Yeah, just a comment on that. We can't make any proposals on full council because all 40 members can sit in it. But committees make recommendations for us to make decisions. So we can make any amendments or proposals to that decision. It doesn't have to be the same. So going back to a proposal that was rejected at committee, you know, is irrelevant. The fully funded aspect is the key important thing that needs to be added to this. And the repetition of the text is because that's what is agreed at ERT, and the addition is included in the text. So it's not the same. So just to clarify that.
Okay, so...
So presumably that's
fully funded, but it's changing. It's shifting into a so it's this bit here, it's changing. Mm-hmm. Just those are
from Bungie. Right. Okay. All right, okay, folks. So from Councillor McMurray, sorry. Well, you're probably going to answer what I'm about to ask him, just saying, where's this going, essentially, because it seems like it's been around the block once. We've come into it here again. Forgive me, I don't have maybe the quite memory recall that some of my colleagues have in this regard. So,
I'll give you guidance on what we're about to do. So, the guidance is that we will vote on the text that's in front of you in the meeting chat as it is now. There is a slight difference between what was the amendment at the committee and to what is the proposal now, and the proposal that's been put to the full council stands. And there's a seconder, so we will go to a vote on that proposal. Okay? And we'll just do a roll call. Councillor Bowsey, is it the same issue or a different issue? Okay, so I've called for a vote, but... Yeah, go ahead, Councillor Bowsey.
It was just to reiterate our position as expressed at the ERT meeting that this is an important issue, but our position on restoring the executive remains the same.
Okay, thank you. All right, folks, we'll go to roll call then.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
For Councillor Devlin's amendment. Thank you.
Councillor Bowsey.
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan.
For.
Councillor Byrne.
For.
Councillor Campbell.
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Feehan?
Four.
Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gilbreth?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Four. Oh, no, sorry, I abstain.
Councillor Hart is absent. Councillor Hoyle?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Kearns?
Four.
Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
4.
Councillor O'Hare.
4.
Councillor Declan Murphy.
4.
Councillor Kate Murphy.
4.
Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor Quinn.
Four.
Councillor Riley.
Abstain.
Councillor Rice.
4.
Councillor Wan.
4.
Councillor Sharvin.
4.
Councillor Taylor.
4.
Councillor Tinley.
4.
Councillor Treesdale.
4.
Councillor Selena Murphy. Is she here yet? No. Oh. Yep. Yeah.
No.
No. Okay. So we've 33, 4, and none against, and 5 abstentions.
Okay. So the proposal passes. Councillor Tinley, you're looking in.
Yeah.
What item, sir?
Sure. The item I want to discuss, sir, was actually held in or discussed in committee. So. Everyone will deal with that. It's page 5, financial assistance.
Yeah, so if it was discussed in committee, we'll need to go into committee, Councillor Tanner. So we need a proposer and seconder to go into committee.
I propose that.
Okay, Councillor Tanner and Councillor Hannah second that we go into committee. Okay, just while in committee, item financial assistance call 3/2024/25 was discussed. Is there any other matters arising, members, for minutes of Enterprise Regeneration Tourism Committee? No? Okay, moving on then to item 6, which is the Minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 14th of December. And we'll go through it page by page. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And Councillor Enright, you've accuracy on page 3, is that right?
Yes, Chair, thank you. It's in the agreed section where... it suggests that it was also agreed to include the reference at the end, right at the end, Chair. It was also agreed to include the reference the climate change emergency more robustly within the corporate plan in line with the sustainability section. Chair, there is nothing in the sustainability section dealing with climate change emergency. What we actually said was to include reference to the climate change emergency more robustly within the corporate plan in line with the cross-party October 2019 motion on climate emergency. The 2019 motion required every plan produced by council to have a clear reference to climate emergency and to list concrete measures to deal with it. There are no concrete measures in the corporate plan. And in actual fact, climate emergency isn't even mentioned in the corporate plan, which is completely against policy as laid down on a cross-party basis by council. So, Chair, I'm looking to replace the last couple of words, in line with the sustainability section, with in line with the October 2019 climate emergency motion.
So, sorry, can I just clarify? So, are you saying within the accuracy of the minutes that is missing, and yeah, that is what was
there's proposed? An error in the accuracy, Chair.
Or is this a new proposal?
No, Chair, I said it on the night.
Okay, because obviously in the content of that item, it clearly details the discussion that had happened, and the chief executive at the time did stipulate that some of the detail that you're expressing now would be included in the business plan rather than the corporate plan, and that it was agreed that there would be an added paragraph to the fact that the council had declared a climate emergency in line with a notice of motion rather than hold up the corporate plan. So is there anything within that that you're saying is missing? Because
what I'm saying is, it, at the moment, it says in line with sustainability section. Now, the sustainability section has nothing to do with climate change emergency in it. What I'm requesting is that within the corporate plan, in line with the 2019 motion on climate emergency, Chair. And that's what was said on the night, and that's what I understand was agreed on the night, and that's what Chair Nicali here seconded on the night.
I didn't, I second it.
We're just checking your Councillor Henry, so bear with us a moment.
There was a recording, Chair.
Yeah, so it is on the recording. The recording's online as well. There is also a transcript attached to each of the in the chat form or in the chat of each of the meetings. No, it's not. It doesn't do word for word, but it has. Councillor Enright, you're happy, and that it was agreed to move on. So it was reread out. You know, the recommendation was read. So, but we can re-listen to the recording if required, and we can agree the minutes without that. Without that minute.
In that case, Chair, I'll propose the minutes.
That's what?
So you're proposing the minutes?
Hold on, proposing is on the assumption we make the change to as proposed, Chair.
So you're proposing in line with the recording, or in line
the recording, Chair? I clearly mentioned the 2019 notice of motion, which was passed with the support of all parties, Chair, which clearly indicated the need to have concrete measures in every plan produced by Council on climate change emergency.
Okay, so you're proposing that in line with the recording, the minutes would reflect that.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Content with that? Okay, all right. And a seconder for the minutes?
Yes.
Okay, Councillor Andrew. Councillor Andrew's here. He's not a member of that committee, so he can't speak.
No.
I need a member of the committee.
Sure, I think I proposed. I made a proposal.
Oh, sorry, you did a P and a plus.
Yeah, you got to ignore the plus. Just
okay.
Swift type.
All right, I'll take that as a seconder then.
Take it as a proposal, sure. I'm a second.
That's a proposal, you need a second. Yes, so Councillor McIntyre has proposed a minute. Sorry. Councillor McIntyre, you had proposed them as they stand without the amendment from Councillor Henry.
Well, I think is everybody quite happy? Couldn't. As we enter that whatever small adjustment had been made for clarity, I don't think we're getting away from the substance of the minutes, that right?
It's proposed in Council Enright a second.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So Council Maxey has proposed in Council Enright saying that in line with the recording, the minutes.
Okay.
All right. Councillor Byrne.
You've tied it up there, I think. I don't know whether we proposed but making the change or not. It's just I had seconded the original proposal. And I'm actually a wee bit confused what we proposed here, because what we discussed on the night at SBNO was there was no reference to climate change, and we were through the document and there was one reference to it in one of the wee boxes. We discussed the previous motion from 2019, which Councillor Enright's talked about. I think the officer at the time had said that motion is progressing at different stages. There's a number of points through the Sustainability Committee, and there is a lot of work to be done through the Sustainability Committee on that to get something that's through fruition or whatever we have deliverables, I suppose. which then will be incorporated in the corporate plan. So we changed our wording around that to say that have it more robustly included in the corporate plan in line with the sustainability. So we can take a motion with a number of actions, send it to a committee to interrogate and move forward into the deliverables, and then while that's happening, just put the entire motion into the corporate plan. And Councillor Enright agreed with that. So that's what that actually outlines what happened on the night. And that's what I was proposing in the minutes. So any additional change to that would just be ripping up what we've done in the sustainability committee. Or actually, it would make out that we just want to put into the corporate plan with actually no deliverables that's worked through the committee, which is a waste of time.
Chair, you're correct in the sense that we did say we wouldn't be putting a notice of motion into the corporate plan, because if we put notice of motion into the corporate plan, then I don't know where the corporate plan would end if you think of any notice of motions we have. Sarah has the transcript, and actually your interpretation and memory of the meeting is the correct one in relation to the transcript, and Sarah can read that out.
Yeah, I suppose whenever we're compiling the minutes, we use our own notes, we use the recordings, we use the transcripts. So, you know, they should be reflective. The agreed paragraph should be reflective of what was discussed. It says here, this is Colin Moffat. I think the councillor is that you want a more robust mention of the notice of motion and sustainability and climate change. We're happy to pick that up and add that into the corporate plan in line with sustainability section. That filters through the various different business plans, and there would be more detail around that, so members are content with that. We'll do that before we send it out to public consultation.
Chair, that's what we're proposing tonight. Yeah, no, just happy enough with that.
Chair, yeah, Councillor Henry has agreed with what we deduced from in our debate so far.
So the proposal and seconder was that we would agree to the minutes in line with the recordings and the transcript, which we have now clarified and heard, so that is what was reflected. Okay. Now,
Claire, I challenge what Colin Moffat said, and I said we need to
record the original motion. Well, Colin Moffat's not here to listen to
it's
your
It's in account, the recording, Chair.
But it's clearly not, because Democratic Services have everything that they need to be able to tell. Now, what you're suggesting is a total change to what has been recorded, and it is also discussed in the body of the actual minutes that the Chief Executive agreed to add in a paragraph to the fact that the Council has declared a climate emergency in line with the notice of motion. You know, so it is there. Yeah, and Colm Moffat also states that there is a lot of the queries raised would fall under the performance improvement section, and he would direct any concerns raised to the appropriate section and come back to the members. It is being addressed, and Josephine.
The other item that was discussed at that meeting was the sustainability and climate change, which is part of the report from the Audit Office, the performance assessment. So that's the other bit. If you look later down in the minutes, that we were reflecting on to put into, you know, our documentation. If you look further down, when that came up, I remember, you know, clearly the discussions about what had come forward from the Audit Office. So, you know, on the ground, what we're looking at is what's said in the performance report with the audit report, and looking from the comments made in that night to bring forward amendments to the corporate plan and to the business plan. So that's how it's been picked up operationally.
Yes, Chair. I'm primarily concerned with the reputation of council, because clearly we have a policy that says no plan should be produced without a reference to climate change emergency with concrete actions. We have a report called the Corporate Plan to 2027. It had no reference to climate change emergency at all, and it had no concrete actions. There was a section called sustainability which did not refer to climate change emergency. So I'm just concerned that before we send a document out, like the Corporate Plan to 2027, we protect the Council's reputation as being responsible players in the civic arena. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. And just to clarify, that is what the Council have agreed to do, is to include a paragraph around the climate emergency, and that's what was agreed with in the minutes and at the meeting. So hopefully the reputation of the Council will be intact, given that we've agreed to do exactly what it says in the minutes. Okay. Councillor Bowser.
On a different note, just want to welcome that Crossgar's Titanic victim is finally being recognised, and to put on the record Maureen McKinney's research that she has done over the years. And thank you everyone for your support.
Okay. All right. If there's no other matters arising, we'll move on then to item 7. It's the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 18th of December 2023. We'll go through page by page, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Proposed by Councillor Kate Murphy, sent by Councillor Lee Sergener. Is there any matters arising? No? Okay, moving on then. Item 8 announces the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 20th of December. We'll go through it page by page. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we have a proposal from Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Kearns. Is there any matters arising? Yes, Councillor Riley.
Chairman, I was astounded today whenever I got a message about the bin collection service being abandoned because of snow and ice. Whenever in the Mourns area we were completely free of snow and ice, and people just can't understand it. And I was sent a video today of a bin collection lorry in Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine, and the bin men were out in the foot of snow, and it was and there was Russian rockets landing in the area, and they kept them in their bins. And I'm at a loss to understand how a wee bit of snow or ice somewhere else in the council stops it in the Mourns area. It's just incredible, Chairman. You know, if it wasn't bad enough, we're making a fool out of ourselves. We're putting ourselves, making ourselves look foolish, Chairman.
Okay. I'll take in Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, any decision to withdraw services isn't taken lightly and is taken after due consideration of, obviously, the weather conditions. The fact that there was an ice warning in place until 10 o'clock this morning, from 5 o'clock this morning, and, as I said, those decisions aren't taken lightly, but it is for the health and safety of the employees, as well as the risk that large vehicles travelling in small rural roads can have and their interaction with the public. And I would suggest that if we had similar conditions again, we will take the same decision. But each time it happens, we go through a process to do a dynamic risk assessment before we make any decision.
If there's snow in South Armagh, I can understand you closing the service down in South Armagh. But if the Mourns area is completely clear of frost and ice and snow, why not get the crews to concentrate in that area, especially when there is already a catch-up to be done? You know, it's deferred from the new year period. So I'm just at a loss to understand how the council can make such an overbearing decision on the whole area whenever there was large areas of the council that were ice-free.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on. Item 9, there's no matters arising for the plan section. Items 10 to 15 are correspondence, so I will take a proposal and seconder just for all the items first of all, and then if members could indicate which particular items that they're going to comment on. So if we could just have a proposer and seconder first of all for all the correspondence. Proposed by Councillor O'Hare.
Proposed by Councillor Sergener and
seconded. Oh, sorry. Proposed by Councillor Lee Sergener and seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Okay. In the order that they are, Councillor Finn, item 10.
Thank you, Chair. In looking at the letter from the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health, where he outlines his approval of the Southern Trust decision to withdraw emergency general surgeon from Daisy Hill, I want to just at the outset register my opposition to that decision in the strongest possible terms. In his letter, the Permanent Secretary has cited a shortage of general surgeons as a partial justification for the decision, but it's worth bearing in mind that
when this service collapsed at Daisy Hill in January 2022, the Southern Trust had made no attempt to recruit general surgeons in the 3 years preceding the collapse. They last attempted to recruit in 2019. And on top of that, the claim that there are a shortage of general surgeons across the board is undermined by the fact that NHS England have reported a 35% increase in the number of general surgeons on their books since 2011. The Permanent Secretary also asserts in his letter that this decision is in step with the transformation agenda for health, but this clashes with the admission made by both the Department and the Trust at a public meeting in Uri last spring, where they clarified that emergency general surgery withdrawal was a consequence of unplanned collapse, not planned transformation. And finally, the Permanent Secretary's letter acknowledges that this decision was made after consultation, but what the letter fails to speak to is the fact that of the 11,000 plus consultation responses, 97% of those responses were opposed to the withdrawal proposal. And that's not to mention the 10,000 people who took to the streets of Newry last July to march in opposition to the decision as well. So that raises a very simple question in my mind. Why has the verdict of the people of this area been seemingly ignored by both the Trust and the Department of Health at the same time that the Permanent Secretary made it clear in a letter to this council that the views of local stakeholders will be taken into account? Now, it's crucial to remember at this juncture that ordinary people are the owners and the funders of the health service. So with this in mind, I would like to propose that an urgent meeting of the Southern Trust Working Group is convened and that the Chief Executive of the Southern Trust is called before that working group to explain how and why the very clear and unambiguous position of our community has been so brazenly disregarded in the decision that has been announced by the Permanent Secretary in this letter. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I just need a second there for your proposal, Councillor Finn. Councillor Finn's second. Councillor Finn, you're next.
Yeah, it's actually on the same item, Chair, and thank you so much for bringing me in. I think it's really important, and I think this council has been very strong as a group in showing how important Daisy Hill is to each and every one of our constituents, and I would just like to say I think that's a really big strength of this council that we have done that. Further to what Councillor Feehan has proposed, I think particularly given where we are politically and the fact that this decision is such a massive one, I think we need to write a letter as a council to the Permanent Secretary to firstly ask when this decision was made, and secondly to ask him that he reconsider and defer this decision. I think we could be looking potentially in the next number of weeks at the reformation of an executive and assembly, and that is where that decision should be being taken, if it is to be taken at all. And again, like Councillor Feehan, I don't think it should be, but I would like to propose that this council writes to the Permanent Secretary to ask that that decision is reversed immediately.
Okay, that would be an amendment to the original proposal to write to the Permanent Secretary as well, Councillor Finn. So, Councillor Finn, you're happy enough for that? Okay. And is everyone content with the current proposal? I will bring the other members in that have indicated to comment. Okay. Councillor King? Item 10.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. And no, I'm regarding item 14. I don't know. Can I speak?
All right.
Wait.
No, I'll bring you back. We made an assumption. So we'll bring in Councillor Taylor and then Councillor Kearns.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, obviously very happy to support the proposals of both Councillor Feehan and Councillor Finn in relation to meeting with as a Southern Health Group with the Chief Executive of the Trust, and indeed writing to the Permanent Secretary regarding the decision that has been taken today. Obviously, that's been announced. It's very clear that we're, as a community, as elected representatives, we're both angry and disappointed at the decision that has been taken, to sign this off as a permanent decision. But I'm probably not surprised, I have to be honest here, because you know we've all attended various consultation events and public events, and really, despite the passion that's been shown by the community regarding this subject, and indeed regarding Daisy Hill in general, it's been clear that the concerns that we have raised and legitimate concerns that representatives in the community have raised have been largely been ignored. And unfortunately, we're in this situation today because of a lack of long-term strategic planning and investment by the Department of Health and the Southern Health Trust in relation to Daisy Hill Hospital. And we're bearing the brunt of that failure at this very point. And it does outline the need for an executive to be in place as well, because whilst an executive will never cure all the ills that exist within the health service, it certainly would be at least provide that leadership that's needed to take long-term strategic planning forward. Because there's been an ongoing issue regarding recruitment at Daisy Hill in general that has led to a lot of the issues that are in play at the moment. And we need to focus that our community, that the hospital deserves, to ensure that the long-term sustainability of services that exist there are protected. So anything that we can do as a council, we're limited in what we can do, but certainly in terms of applying the necessary pressure that we can, we're obligated to do that, and we should do that. So I'm happy to support the proposals that have been outlined in regard to the hospital, and certainly to outline my own anger and disappointment at where we are here today. Thank you. Okay,
thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Kearns?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes. I would also like to support Councillor Fain and Finn's proposals as well. Now, I'd just like to read this decision to remove emergency general surgery from Daisy Hill is deeply disappointing and will cause great concern across all communities served by the hospital. The Southern Trust must be clear about what real steps they are taking to secure the safe delivery of the services at Daisy Hill now and into the future. We will continue to work with other parties and experts through the Daisy Hill Future Group to protect Daisy Hill for all in our community. Our health service is facing huge challenges due to the lack of resources and understaffing. This needs to be urgently addressed. We need the executive restored now and all parties working together to invest in our health service to help it deal with the unprecedented challenges it's facing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kearns. All right, everyone's content with that. Item 11 then, Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you. Yeah, look, just very short, but look, just a very disappointing response to a very important motion. Gives very little, mentions very little that was actually in the motion itself. But what it does mention, and we have to reiterate the message, and we've repeated time and time again, that clearly, it clearly states in the letter that until a minister is in place, no policy can be set. So I'll call on DUP yet again to get back into Stormont in order to get a minister in place to deal with these serious life and death health issues. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Fringham. Item 12, Councillor Lee Searchner.
Thank you, Chair. The news that the drug pivotal to the battle against prostate cancer will not be readily available to men from the initial diagnosis is disheartening. It's not due to its efficacy or unavailability, but a structural issue within our healthcare system. Unlike our counterparts in Scotland or Wales, the Department of Health here in Northern Ireland lacks a crucial entity, which is the Health Technology Assessment Body. It's concerning that despite proven best practices elsewhere in the UK, the Department of Health has chosen not to adopt these practices to ensure better outcomes for men battling prostate cancer. So I hope all parties return Stormont so an executive can be formed, a minister can ensure a health technology assessment body can be established and rectify this issue as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Item 13, Councillor Kilbreath.
Thanks, Chair. Delighted to finally have received a response from the Education Authority, considering Council had to write a second letter seeking the information from them. Unfortunately, I feel the Education Authority have failed to provide a full response. In relation to transport for young people, while I appreciate the huge scale of work required to coordinate transport across the Education Authority, there still remains the same issues year on year. The Education Authority tell us that there may be training required for staff before this provision can be offered. The Education Authority would be well aware of this at the early stages of the year after annual reviews, and I'm confused why it would take up the utmost for them to arrange this training. The Education Authority will also talk about the tendering required to ensure appropriate checks can be complete. Again, I wonder when does this commence, as the information for young people requiring transport will also be readily available at the annual review stage or to write the statement and process. The Education Authority states that when issues arise, that they work to find solutions. Well, when they work to find solutions, there are young people losing out in their education, not to mention the effort required by parents who spend the summer months preparing their children for starting back or starting a new school, which can be stressful enough. but to be told a week before school starts that transport won't be available is simply not acceptable. To have witnessed how this impacts the young people and families, more needs to be done, and more embarrassing for the Education Authority is the taxi driver or the bus drivers who are left to break this news to the families. With regards to school places, the Education Authority needs to consider what more can be done. Whilst additional provision has been acquired, this meant that children would be travelling up to 40 miles each day. The authority could not find a suitable placement for quite a few children within a 2-mile radius. Some of these children also had to wait from September last year until this January before getting started school. It's just not good enough. Moving on, I'm disappointed to see that the Education Authority have not yet given a response to the backlog of those requiring statements of education or admitted statements after the annual review. And with this in mind, I would like to propose the Council seeks further information from the Education Authority's cross-directorate team, asking what provisions will be in place for September 24, ensuring that there will be placements for those requiring them, and that these placements are within a reasonable distance from where the young people live. Thank you.
And do you have a seconder for that, Councillor Cabaret? Oh, Councillor Ant.
It's actually seconded, sir.
Is everyone in agreement? Yep. Okay. Item 14 is Councillor King and then Councillor Byrne.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is just a quick comment regarding item 14, the violence in Gaza. I suppose looking through the correspondence, there is really no surprise the response from the British government. Reading through the response, you know, you're thinking to yourself how someone can put pen to paper and has the stomach to address a letter about the current situation and still use the phrase that Israel has a right to defend itself when over 22,000 Palestinians have been killed, and mostly women and children. You know, the British, the Americans, the EU, they all have within their power to say to Israel, stop, achieve a ceasefire and bring stability to the region. And I even think the correspondence mentions that objective. Yet here we are, and within the last 24 hours, 111 people killed and 250 wounded. So this sort of gaslighting is not surprising. However, the district, the people of Nuri and across the island see things for what it is, and will be on the right side of history calling for peace and an urgent ceasefire. So I suppose I just wanted to sum up the thoughts, the party's thoughts in the letter that was in response, and thanks very much for letting me speak. Thank you, Carmela.
Thank you. Councillor Burns?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and fully agree with Councillor King's comments there. I think we put on record as a council our disappointment, complete disappointment in the response. I'll probably follow up at the end of just making a few comments on this to see where we are with the response from the Irish government, because we wrote to both governments. Firstly, we articulated the motion in terms of all killings right across the region, whether it's in southern Israel and in Gaza, and for the UK minister to write back while talking about, first of all, I have to outline that he does acknowledge there's human tragedy in the Middle East, but that's as far as he goes by addressing both sides of it. No steps to stop it, just support for the Palestinian Authority, which is not in Gaza. Condemns Hamas and the attacks carried out by Hamas, but doesn't condemn Israel for the continuous rockets fired for the last 3 months and nearly 23,000 people slaughtered. Talks consistently through the letter of Israel's right to defend itself. And along with Cathal King's comments, I am sick to the stomach of hearing that statement. Israel's right to defend itself. Every human and every state has a right to defend itself. Not once in the letter from the minister does he talk about the Gazans' right to defend themselves, or the Palestinians' right to defend themselves, or the people's right in the West Bank to defend themselves. And the state of Oman, they're speaking with a counterpart over in the Middle East. They've talked to President Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, and committing their support to a two-state solution. At the same time, you have ministers in the Israeli government who are relaxing gun laws so civilians in Israel and crossing into the West Bank can carry more guns. They're trying to get 10,000 guns into the hands of civilians. How on earth is that trying to reduce tensions in the West Bank? We've heard American ministers saying over the last few weeks that they fear the weapons that are shamelessly being provided to continue this conflict. Not a conflict, genocide. The conflict is two states fighting back against each other. A genocide that they, their weapons could spill in and increase tensions in the West Bank. Well, you need to be an idiot to not see that that is actually happening. I was actually sick to read from the response that 30 million additional of life-saving aid is going in to address the humanitarian crisis. We keep discussing this as it's a humanitarian crisis. It didn't just pop up. People, you know, there is a huge humanitarian crisis, but it's been served on these people by a country, by the state of Israel. Been serving these people, and no commentary around how the humanitarian crisis has been allowed to continue. Well, we'll throw 30 million, sorry, extra for aid, and we'll bomb it on its way in. Well, 30 million is pennies when you turn your back and close your eyes to tens of billions of arms going into the region to continue slaughtering these innocent people. Israel has a right to protect civilians. Said it at the start. Does Palestinians not? I would love to write back to the UK government to pose these questions, because these are the questions that we had in our original motion. And I knew the response of the UK government would be cowardly when it come back. It dodged all those questions, but I think we'd be wasting our time in writing back to them. I think we have to put all our faith into other states and other countries standing up to this genocide. And I welcome South Africa's case coming this Thursday. And I've read the detail in it, in the document that was outlined, and it would make you sick to read some of the atrocities that's happening to innocent men, women and children. And I really hope that it shames the most powerful people in the Western world and in America, shames them into the reality of what they're causing over in the Middle East. And finally, I'll say, and maybe just get from the chair, from the chief executive, if a response comes back from the Irish government or where we are with that, because we called for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassadors in both. I think Ambassador Hatovli, sorry if I mispronounced the name, but far-right Israeli ambassador in the UK, not a mention of it, and it was pertinent in the motion, which again is ignoring what was written to them. It's probably a pre-written script that was sent back to us. But yeah, the last point I wanted to make, nearly went out of my head. We all sat and I watched when President Biden came over to Ireland for his Irish visit. Thought it was fantastic. You know, going round and the Irish blood and the lineage through the American presidents and this land. And I was quite proud. And he talked about how he'll take home from his visit to Ireland the message of peace and how we can work together. And we brought peace on this island by working hand in hand. And that's a message that the whole world should learn from. Flies back to the States and arms the Israeli state with billions of arms to slaughter 23,000 innocent people. How on earth did he hear the message when he came to Ireland? He completely forgot it when he went over there, and I think it's an absolute shame that he used those words on this island, and shame on him.
Yeah, Chair, any correspondence we've received will be attached to the Council agenda, so we have not received responses yet from the Irish Government.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. Item 15, Councillor Howell.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to welcome a response from the Education Authority. It's good to get clarification that there is support out there regarding this matter. I suppose it is good to say that there's training for whole schools. That's a great resource. It just would be interesting to ascertain what percentage of schools in the local area do partake in that. I would like to make a proposal that we go back to the Education Authority and ask them for that information, and maybe further ask them then as well how many schools have registered for the whole school emotional health and wellbeing programme as well, because I think it would be vitally important that we would encourage as many schools as possible to sign up for that, Chair. So if that could help, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Just need a second there for Councillor Howe.
Yeah,
Councillor Hammond. Okay. Everyone's content with that? Yep. All right, then. Moving on to item 16, which is the ASCII conference. We just need to ask if there's any members that wishes to attend the conference, as we as council need to agree to it. Nope. Okay, perfect. Moving on then is the notice of motions. And the first notice of motion is item 17. And it's the notice of motion on climate change under Standing Order 16.1.6. This will be referred to the Sustainability and Environment Committee. So, Councillor McMurray, if you can read it out and just inform us who your seconder is.
Thank you, Chair. That this Council acknowledges the work done to date to help address the climate emergency, reaffirms previous motions regarding the degenerating global situation, and again reiterates that the crisis is the biggest threat posed to our constituents, our district and our planet. Further acknowledges, however, that recent data collected by Climate Emergency UK ranks nearly more environmental council, 8 out of 11 councils within NI, and thus pledges to include ambitious targets in the forthcoming sustainability and climate strategies and action plans to expedite implementation. Considers that political instability hinders a transition to a greener economy and thus agrees to write the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, said the Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic's Minister of Foreign Affairs to press the urgent need for the reform the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement and accept the recommendations contained within the report of the Westminster Northern Ireland Affairs Committee evaluating their effectiveness. And Councillor Kelly is going to second it, please, Chair.
Are you sure there now?
I'm very sure. Could be sure.
All right, thank you. And Councillor Kelly, you're sure that you're seconding it? All right. Folks, item 18, it's a bit unusual because I wasn't expecting to be chairing the meeting, but Valerie had indicated and had already made a decision that the motion would be heard tonight. So I'm going to read out my motion and speak to it, and then I'll bring people in afterwards. So the motion reads that Newry-Moore and Down expresses grave concern at the significant geographical disparities in the economy of Northern Ireland between those areas which have experienced economic prosperity and those areas which have been left behind. Recognises that too many of our communities are still trapped in levels of poverty. Expresses concern that the proportion of the population in Newry-Moore and Down who are living in households where the income is below 60% of the Northern Ireland average is higher than the Northern Ireland average and is the third highest in Northern Ireland after Derry and Strabane and Fermanagh and Omagh. Welcomes the publication of an action plan by Invest Northern Ireland to implement the recommendations of the recent review, which revealed the scale failures of Invest NI to work as a partner on a sub-regional basis. Welcomes the proposal for legislation to address these regional economic imbalances through our regional jobs and investment bill. Resolves to take all possible measures to alleviate regional economic imbalances in order to give every citizen equal opportunities to succeed regardless of their geography. Commits to responding to the consultation on this legislation, which is currently open. So, Council, I am very pleased to be speaking on this motion today. I know that you all feel, like me, that a person's chances should not be dictated by the postcode of their birth, that every person should have equal opportunities to succeed and go as far as their talents will take them, and that jobs, opportunity and investment should be shared equally throughout the North. But as you will be aware, as well as far too often, that it is not the case in 2024. As we speak, far too many people are trapped in poverty, deprivation and disadvantage in our communities. Far too many workers can't get jobs that pay the bills and families end up entrapped in cycles of poverty for generations. While some places have done very well since our peace agreement 25 years ago, other places have been left behind and forgotten altogether. You all know places that I mean. Areas that have been left to stagnate or decline and communities where poverty is a shameful norm. I believe there is something that we cannot stand over any longer. That's why I am supporting the proposal for legislation to be brought forward to help combat this and ensure our government is taking all necessary steps to spread jobs and investments throughout the North so everyone has a chance to succeed. This proposed law is designed to change the way Stormont works by placing binding targets on all government departments to ensure that regional economic balance is fully considered when plans, strategies and initiatives are put together. I know that we're all used to Derry and Belfast dominating the conversation when it comes to the disparities in our economy, but the truth is that Newry-Moore and Down deserves to have its voice heard as well. Regional balance isn't just about the two largest cities, it's about each and every one of our communities getting its fair share of jobs and investment. That includes people here and we must be fully represented in this process. That's why I'm proposing that our council responds to the consultation that is currently open on this legislation and ensures that we come together to stand up for this place we call home. I believe that if we can make a strong case for this council district, we can ensure that Stornoway finally starts delivering in the way that we know it can. I would urge you all to support this motion. And Councillor Devlin is seconding. Councillor Devlin.
Yep, thank you very much, Chair. I'm more than happy to second this motion. I know in my own DEA, for example, that we have significant pockets of poverty and deprivation, areas that need that additional support and intervention from government. So I'm pleased that you've raised this motion tonight. I hope that when the new Executive Assembly is in place, that we can address this imbalance, which is acutely felt right across our district, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We'd be happy to support the motion with a slight amendment. I'll just make a couple of points first. So we are committed to tackling regional imbalances that exist in terms of employment and investment. Our view is in the past, InvestEU and I have shown a lack of investment, job creation, investment isn't, particularly in rural and those west of the ban. There's a clear gap in employment rates between different parts of the north, which you've already alluded to, and this gap has to be narrowed so that people across the north can benefit from greater employment opportunities and economic development. InvestEU and I must work more closely with local councils themselves to promote investment and support job creation in areas which have been historically neglected or disadvantaged, and they should be putting additional resources into upskilling and growing Indigenous SMEs and micro-businesses. The amendment that I would propose, it's more of an insert. In regards to the Executive, we would ask that we add in this wording, that we call for the restoration of the Executive and for an Income and Economy Minister as a priority to alleviate regional economic imbalances in order to give every citizen equal opportunity to succeed regardless of the geography. I also wanted just to question the time frame of the consultation. Is this the SDLP consultation that you're referring to? Because when I looked it up, it was closed on the 22nd of December, so unless there's another one that I haven't been able to locate. So
yeah,
are we still able to respond to it then if it's closed over, you know, last month?
Oh, sorry, Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, I think
I have extended.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's fair enough. Just questioning.
And I'm content to accept the amendment as well.
Okay, well, happy to support. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the motion, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Quite a lot of points there. I'm certainly supportive of them all. If you could just speak to each point sort of separately, if that makes sense. Certainly, regarding alleviating the regional economic imbalance, you know, to fully avail of all the economic opportunities we have in this district and Northern Ireland, we must look at achieving long-term political stability. We reform the institutions to put an end to the stop-start government here and ensure Stormont can never again be collapsed by one single party for any reason. Many sectors across Northern Ireland and nearing one and down are ripe for expansion and growth, and we have to ensure that we show potential investors the impact our local traders can have on the external markets, leveraging our unique dual market access. On matters of poverty, yes, indeed, Alliance Party and Indi would support and welcome any motion or endeavour to alleviate poverty. Councillor Devlin's had motions on it. I've got motions on childhood poverty. I'm sure the Sinn Féin have as well, just can't quite have it in mind. But anyway, one thing that I would maybe figure came across there, noted that in 2009-2010, 40,898 food parcels were delivered, distributed, that's according to the Trussell Trust. And in 2023, that figure's grown to 3 million. And these are according to Trussell Trust, you know, some of the more, I'm sure we all are astute politics watchers, but, you know, you'd see the correlation between that and the Tory government, so you would, but we'll leave that there. When it comes to InvestNI, again, we agree that the review found divisions and a major step change in the Department for Economy and InvestNI, how they are operated, is required. And the report revealed significant and fundamental flaws, and therefore it is vital lessons are learnt, recommendations accepted, and swift actions taken. Given the scale of the challenge revealed in the report, This will be a long-term project, and never again to find ourselves in a situation where things have got so out of hand. Again, regarding regional imbalances, addressing regional imbalances or fractured skills ecosystem and the green economy is imperative. The Alliance Party await the outworkings of this shift in focus, and the review rightly pointed out that the DfE have had many strategies in the past, but have not been given enough attention or sustained effort to their implementation. Certainly, and again, finally, just I'm certainly support Councillor Hanlon's amendment regarding the lack of the assembly and encouraging it to be rebooted again. And finally, just yes, certainly happy enough to support the consultation legislation. It was certainly live the other day whenever I saw it on the SCLP website, so I presume it's still live there. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair.
Sorry, Councillor.
Yep. Yep, thanks, Chair, and I'm happy to support your motion that you've presented to us this evening. I don't think any of us could deny that obviously there has been economic progress in our district over the last number of decades in particular, but the reality is we haven't reached that full potential that we could obviously embrace, which would benefit all of our citizens. We have far too many that still live below the poverty line, and really, government, you know, has been guilty, and departments like Invest and I have been too Belfast-centric when it comes to investment. And the reality is our district plays an important role in the economic corridor between Belfast and Dublin, and really, as a consequence of that, we really should be, you know, benefiting more than we do at present in terms of necessary investment that comes through. We as a council ourselves have a role to play as well, even through our own corporate plan about the need to make our own our district more prosperous. And I certainly think we can step up to the mark in that regard, but to do that we also need the support of central government bodies that play their role in creating and obviously attracting that necessary investment. So happy to again support the motion, Chair, and I certainly think everybody will certainly be the same. So thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Keogh. Councillor Bowser.
We would have been happy to support the original motion. However, it's regrettable that an unnecessary dig at the DUP's legitimate concerns over the union are inserted once again, and we can't have a collective voice on this important issue. So we'll be abstaining. Thanks.
Okay. All right. There's no one else to speak. I suppose just in reference to Councillor Bowser, I actually will be nice to Councillor Hanlon and say she refrained from mentioning the DUP. It's the importance of restoring the executive and the importance of the well, I think surely everyone agrees about restoring the executive. That's right and brings prosperity and opportunity to Northern Ireland. We didn't dive into the reasons behind it, but I think as other speakers have touched on, it's the importance of our council district and helping it support the people of our district and the people we live in the communities with in realising opportunities and investment within Newry-Moran Down. Councillor Byrne, normally when someone's summing up, I move on and ask that everyone's in agreement. And I could really be particularly in Guthrie and Stanton Order's knowledge and challenge that, but is it a really important comment?
I'll let you decide after I make the comment. If you want to be finicky, I'll remember that till next Christmas. No, it's just around some of these motions when they're taken, trying to be careful to get support right around the chamber. That you want to get support from, obviously, the DUP, but you cannot leave out the executive in this, because the whole point of the funding from InvestNI and the strategy and the council, if you read the document, they need certainty from the departments on funds going on year. They need certainty on the ring fence of the fund, certainly in DOF and DfE. They need certainty on a capital fund to replace the European Regional Development Fund. Without that certainty, they can't deliver the strategy that they're putting out to consultation. So without putting in the executive, reforming an executive that gives them that certainty on multi-year budgets and inserts a capital fund to replace the ERDF, you may as well not table the motion. So I want to make that point clear. You cannot table the motion without having the executive in there. And the DUP should support it on that basis.
All right. Obviously, it's up to the DUP councillors to decide. Okay, is everyone in agreement? Obviously not, so we'll just do a roll call, sir.
Councillor Andrews?
Happy to support.
Councillor Bowser?
Yeah.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell? Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright? Councillor Feehan? Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Galbraith?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
I'm staying.
Councillor Hart is absent. Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
I'm staying.
Councillor Kearns?
Four.
Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Mathers? Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Quinn?
Four.
Councillor Riley is gone. Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Wan?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
Councillor Traysdale?
Four.
So 34 for, none against, and 4 abstentions.
Okay, the motion passed. Okay. Item 19 then is notice motion of Cabrone Park playing pitches in accordance to Standing Order 16.1.6. This item will be referred to the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee. So, Councillor Tinley, if you can read out your motion and inform us who your seconder is, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Motion will be seconded by Councillor Hannah. So, this council shares the frustration and disappointment of the wider Cut Leave football and sporting fraternity. But almost 3 years after a planning application was submitted to upgrade the existing playing pitches at Cabrone Park, information remains outstanding that would allow the planning department to complete their deliberations and bring forward a recommendation. Council remains very concerned that the unacceptable delay and inertia that has developed this process throughout 2023 and the inability of the project managers to progress the application to the stage where the planning department can conclude their work. Council notes the latest correspondence on the planning portal, dated December 7, 2023, between the planning department and the project managers, and agrees that an intervention from elected members is both appropriate and necessary to help break the logjam. Council now instructs the project managers to withdraw the pavilion stroke changing room element from this current application, and to immediately provide the remaining outstanding information as requested by the planning department, so a recommendation regarding the upgrading of the pitches themselves can be made without further delay. Furthermore, project managers will immediately seek to identify an alternative site for the pavilion and will submit a separate planning application for a pavilion within 3 months of this meeting. Project managers will also provide a monthly update to Council regarding the other outstanding matters as requested by the Planning Department. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. And Councillor Hannah, you're happy second. Okay, item 20, notice motion of BBC programmes, farm gate and agricultural issues. Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And this motion will be seconded by Councillor Byrne. That this council views with deep concern BBC Northern Ireland's move to axe the agriculture feature or segment programme Farm Gate from the Radio Ulster schedule, and further demands that BBC Northern Ireland fulfils its obligations and responsibilities as a public service broadcaster to the farming and rural community. We also call on BBC NI to formally commit to providing regular, adequate and bespoke coverage of live agricultural issues, including market and produce trends,
And if passed, this motion will be sent to Mr. Adam Smith, BBC Northern Ireland Director. Chair, suppose many of you wonder why I brought this motion to all the council on a simple radio programme. But the removal of a small feature programme, Farm Gate, prompted this and the reaction from the farm and rural community. It's been a real feature focus recently on farming in terms of reducing greenhouse gases, but to relegate the information flow to farmers is extremely untimely. As a small group, farmers feel isolated and pressurised at the moment. The plan by BBC Northern Ireland to remove the only broadcast by them featuring agriculture is adding further angst to farmers. 4,000 farm businesses in our council area form an integral part and constituent part of the local area, as do the remaining 20-odd thousand other farm businesses that form a major industry within Northern Ireland. This programme is an important lifeline, as I spoke earlier, to the small group of people reaching into houses, tractors and even making parlours, bringing up-to-date information to farmers which directly affect their livelihoods. And it's been on air for over 30 years. The majority of farmers that I know are lone workers living in isolated parts of the country, and to cut off this service will only further alienate them. Minority interests are recognised by the BBC, whether it's culture, language or hobbies, so why remove agriculture? And I wonder if the BBC gave due regard to rural proofing and the Rural Needs Act in Northern Ireland, which was passed in the Assembly in 2016. So I call on them to consider once again before they act this programme and listen to the farming and rural community who want their way of life reflected by their public broadcaster. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McTeer. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, Chair, happy to second it. Just make a few brief points because Declan touched on most of it. As you said, the programme has been going for 30 years. It used to have its own segment. High listenership to the programme, and then over the years has been recently put down to, you know, a 3 to 5 minute segment on BBC Radio Ulster, which is literally phased out and then removed. He's right, BBC do have a responsibility. They have a responsibility to the farming community and a responsibility to the rural community that live here, because they are also licensed payers. And being funded by the public purse, they have a responsibility to bring this content to those people. Why bring it to the council? It's really, really important that we support the people that's lobbying for this change to be reversed. The Ulster Farmers Union are meeting with the BBC. I know they met with them in mid-December and we'll have four of the meetings coming up. And they are completely exasperated of why this decision has been made. There's a huge lobby group to get it overturned. And we have to, as councillors, and a council that covers a huge rural area, put our weight behind their campaign to give them a wee bit more force to get this overturned. So that's why the motion's in front of us tonight, and that's why I'm delighted to second it, to give them that voice.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McGuinness?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Sinn Féin's happy to support this motion, which highlights the sheer disrespect BBC bosses have for the farming and rural community across the north. Cancelling an arranged meeting with farmers to discuss the axing of the 30-year-old Farmgate show just before Christmas was another setback for an already struggling farming community. There is no other programme in the north that delivers information on agriculture, ranging from policy to Farmgate prices. The coverage of local farming by BBC has decreased dramatically in recent years, which sends a very clear message to rural communities that their views and opinions aren't being listened to by major media corporations. An up and running executive with an agricultural minister in place could help challenge some of these decisions. So we really need an executive up and running, because council has very little scope in challenging these decisions by major corporations. So I would urge the EP to go back into the executive and help all these communities across all departments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Yes, Chair. Happy to support the motion, and disappointed to hear that it is being taken off the airways, so to speak, and reduced. I mean, it is
Not that I do any farming by any stretch of the imagination, but it is, it's always interesting to hear what's going on in the farming world, and there is something reassuring about hearing the pence per kilo about the countryside. So, no, certainly happy to support, and I thank Councillor Magatea for bringing forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thanks to Councillor Magatea for bringing forward the motion here this evening. I'm certainly very happy to support it. You know, as a public broadcaster, the BBC have an obligation to provide an important information output to all of our communities, and as each one of us, you know, contributes financially to that broadcaster, it's important that they deliver for our communities, and certainly this decision has certainly dented the confidence within rural communities about the decision to remove this segment. And I think, unfortunately, it's a worrying trend that we're starting to see from the BBC even last week, and whilst it's different to this, even the business information section they would have had in some of their news slots, that's been removed too. And they seem to be moving away from some of the, you know, some of the, I suppose, items and broadcast portfolios that they would have had that played an important role for all the communities that combine within Northern Ireland. So this is just one aspect of that, and unfortunately it has, you know, created a lot of disappointment, and I know that the UFU have expressed serious concern about it. So I hope certainly they will give consideration to the letter that we write, and that they will review this decision, and would certainly implore upon others to do all that they can as well to try and return this programme to our waves.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Max here, if you want to sum up.
Chair, just very briefly to thank all parties and all councillors for the support. And I do certainly hope, taking all on board what people have said, and hopefully BBC will listen, and hope in their reply, that by the time we get a reply back from them, that they will have met Farmers Union and NAIAPA, and that there will be a more positive outcome in terms of the broadcast in agriculture and rural affairs. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, everyone's in agreement? Yep, okay, thank you very much, everyone, and safe home.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.